I'm going to invite you to open the scripture this morning and turn to Psalm 100. And then also we're going to look at Psalm 106, the first verse. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. If you stand at this time, Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And then we look at Psalm 106, and we look at verse 1. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for allowing us to meet together for corporate worship. And Lord, I pray that everyone would be encouraged for having come today. And as people who live in America, and especially to be born again and live in this nation, we ought to be the most grateful people on the face of your earth. Forgive us when we're not. We presume upon you. We take for granted so many blessings that you give us. May this be a day of reflection, but also be a day of commitment to give thanks every day of our lives, because when you take us home to be with you, those who've trusted you as Savior and as Lord, we're going to have all eternity to lift up your name. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you as I share from your word this precious congregation today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. A man named Robert F. Bruce said he was walking down a busy sidewalk in a huge city. And as he was walking, he heard this high-pitched male voice just singing songs of praise. He thought, where in the world is that coming from? And as he kept walking along a little bit further, he saw a man pushing himself in a wheelchair. And when he got closer, he saw the man had no legs. He walked over to the man and he said, I want you to know, friend, to hear singing like that coming for a person in your condition gives me a lift. And here's what the man in the wheelchair said. He said, when I stopped looking at what I'd lost and began concentrating on all I had, I found much for which I could rejoice and praise God. With all my heart, I believe in this wonderful song. As you sit down, this time of the year, you're making your gift list. Your children, your spouse, your grandchildren. You're just listing all that out. And then some people believe in New Year's resolutions. You realize that 95% of people that make resolutions abandon those resolutions by February the 1st. Watch church attendance in January. In January, be crowded. By February, you can lie down anywhere you like. Those resolutions are gone. We make lists. You make grocery lists. You make lists for your children to go back to school. But let me share something with you. Thanksgiving, you need to make sure you have an extensive list for your blessings. We think about our salvation, our health, our homes, our cars, our clothes, our food, our cash, our church, the mercy God showers on us, the love he gives to us. With Jesus, we have so much to be thankful for. You think about our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our refuge and our strength. He's our present help in times of trouble. Scripture tells us he's the beginning and the end, the first and last, the one who is and shall evermore be. And we look a little further and we see that he had no beginning and he has no end. He's the master, the mighty, the hero of the heroes. He is the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. Someday he's going to descend from heaven with a shout. Dead in Christ are going to rise. Those who are alive when he comes shall be caught up to be with him in the air. We'll be given our glorified, resurrected bodies, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's our friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's so much for which we ought to give thanks. Now look at Psalm 100, and notice in verse 1, 2, and 3, the Lord's name is mentioned in all those places. Look in verse 4. You'll see there, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Go to verse 5, and there it is, the name of the Lord. So the basis of our thanksgiving is not things. The basis of thanksgiving is the unchanging Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Psalm 100 not only calls on us to praise, but he also says that we ought to live our lives with thankfulness. And in this psalm, he gives us five simple commands. The first one, we are commanded to shout. Now, if somebody shouted during one of my sermons, I would lose my place. Look, if you will, at verse 1. In the NIV says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. King James Version, give you that translation. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. It's the shout of the people at the crowning of a king. It's the noise of a crowd at the inauguration of a newly elected official. The shout is made with the force of a trumpet blast. I went for an appointment with my ophthalmologist several months ago. I go to Dr. Davidson. While he was working on my eyes, he started telling me about a mission trip. He said, I haven't been on many mission trips, but he said, a friend of mine has talked me into going to a remote place in South Africa. He said, my friend says that there are about 40,000 people in this remote area who have cataracts. There are no surgeons. He said, if there were surgeons, the people don't have any money to pay. So he said, I hadn't intended on going on this trip, but he's convinced me. And he said, we're going to treat these people so they won't go blind. He said, I'm actually excited. A missionary told about getting medical teams to do surgery on native people who were progressively going blind. The missionary said that these people who needed the surgery did not have a word in their language for thank you. And he said, here's what they would do when you perform the surgery and they healed up. When that native, the person, the recipient of surgery would come back to that surgeon, here's what they would say. Instead of saying thank you, they said, I will tell your name. So wherever they went, they would tell their friends who needed that surgery so their eyesight could be restored. They would tell the name of the person, the missionary, or the doctor that operated on them. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is the only one who can relieve spiritual blindness. And the best way we can give him thanks and praise is share his name who people don't know him yet. It says here, we need to shout the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second thing I want you to write down quickly. There's a command to serve. Look at verse 2. The NIV says, worship the Lord with gladness. King James Version says, serve the Lord with gladness. We're told to serve the Lord. Today, people look for a church, oftentimes, that just meets all their needs. Jesus came not to be served, he came to serve. And we're to follow that pattern. Do you notice how the NIV translates that first Greek word, worship? And the translator of the King James Version says to serve. When you worship the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, and soul, you're also serving him. All of us have a keychain in our pocket. These are the keys to the kingdom here at Pleasant Valley South Baptist Church. Now, I want you to know that some of these keys are made by the same company. Now, these two keys aggravate me to death. These keys fit the door outside by Patsy's office, our bookkeeping office. You're out there in the dark, and one of these keys fits the deadbolt lock. But I can make you a promise. When I'm out there leaving here by myself and I've got to lock that deadbolt lock, I'm always going to put the wrong key in that hole. And when it's pouring rain, I'm going to put the wrong key in the hole. They look just alike. I've got some more keys on here, quick set. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not careful, you put the wrong key in the wrong hole. Now, here's two keys right here. And I mean, they're exactly alike from the looks. But one of them fits the Family Life Center, and the other one fits Patsy Jordan's office. If it's cold and the rain is blowing and I've got to get in the Family Life Center, guess which key I'm going to put in the hole? Patsy's. And that makes me so mad at Patsy, because she's got that kind of key. But I want you to know, every one of us has got keys in our pockets. You know what I'm thankful for? These keyless entry cars. But you know what I did? First trip we took, I left Elaine at a condominium and I went to play golf. And when I came back, I locked the keyless key in the trunk. Have you done that yet? Guess what? When you touch the trunk and it's supposed to release because that key fob is on your person, guess what? When it's in the trunk, it don't know you. And you just hit there and everything. So what you do is you call OnStar. And OnStar says, stand back from your vehicle. Don't go hide behind the bushes. It's not going to blow up. It's from a satellite. They're going to unlock your car so you don't look like the village idiot. But I want you to know one thing about keys. They are all cut from a master. And these keys, though they may look alike, they only fit a specific lock, just one specific lock. And I want you to know, God is our master key. And He opens everything, but He has uniquely crafted every believer for a specific place where He wants you to serve and make a difference. He's designed us that way by His grace. Notice the third thing there. There's a command to sing. Now, I love this one. Notice in the NIV, He says there in verse 2b, He says, come before Him with joyful songs. King James Version says, come before His presence with singing. We're to come before Him with joyful songs. I've been in some churches that their music is as dead as 12:30 in a worship center on Sunday. Go figure that out. Psalm 98:4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Have you noticed in all three commands, God says, I want you to be happy, shout with joy, serve with gladness, and come with joyful songs. Now, I don't want you to be judgmental, but the next time we meet for worship, while you're singing, I want you to just kind of do about a 180. And notice whether or not people are singing. Some people stand there like this. And some people are really getting into it. And somebody's over there singing and they know one note and they're wearing it out. But you know they're singing. Now notice here, He didn't say that everybody has to know how to sing. But some people just sit there and scowl. Some people are happy. They need to tell their face about it. Singing with joy is one of the primary ways we worship and we honor God. You ever been over there with the praise band and they're just leading just as hard as they can go? Or here with the choir and orchestra, they're just leading as hard as they go. And there are people standing there with no expression on their face. Do you know people notice you? Do you know that? This morning, a nice family came in, and I handed them a bulletin and welcomed them over on the dark side. And I told them there was a side with lights, but they chose to go to the dark side today, and that's fine. They could have been out of God's will and gone to somebody else's church today, but they came here. So I handed them bulletins, walked away, and introduced myself and everything. And so the wife looked at the bulletin. She walked over to one of our members and said, "Who is this guy on the front page of your bulletin?" They said, "Well, you just met him right there." I said, "Well, that just don't look like him." And I said, "That's one of my retro pictures right there. That's when I had black hair." People notice your face. And they notice how you're acting when we're supposed to be worshiping. You know, if you can't sing, rap. That's my definition of rap. If you can't sing, just rap. If you can't sing, we've got the words on the screen over here. Just say them to yourself. If he lives within your heart, sing about him and let him know what, let people know what Jesus has done for you. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving command. Notice here he says shout. He says serve. Then he says sing. 1875, there was a man named Cleland McAfee. His father helped start a university, Park College in Parkville, Missouri. Cleland graduated from Park and then went to Union Seminary. And then he was called back to Park University to be the chaplain for the college students and also be the director of the college choir. Now, listen to this. They had communion, Lord's Supper, about once a month in chapel for the college on Sunday. Cleland McAfee wrote a worship song, a new one, every month to be played and sung by the choir for the communion service. Wow. All we do here is just trying to pick out whatever's already been written. Well, just before they were going to have communion one month on a Sunday with the students and faculty, Cleland McAfee's nieces died of dysentery. One died, and within 24 hours, another died. Cleland agonized over the words and music that might serve as worship for the Sunday and provide comfort amidst such horrible loss. And from that tragedy, he wrote this hymn, "Near to the Heart of God." You remember that old song? "There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God." Did you know that was why it was written? And let me tell you, he took it to his choir for choir rehearsal on Saturday night. And when they finished learning the song, he said, "We're going to my brother's home." My brother's home is quarantined. They're mourning the loss of their two daughters. And the choir surrounded that house and sang, "Near to the heart of God." Did you know that? Sometimes we know the context from which those songs were written. They become much more meaningful than just sheer music. And then he gives us a command to submit. Look at what he says. Verse 3, "Know you that the Lord, he is God, is he that has made us, not we ourselves. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture." The NIV says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we're his. We are these people, the sheep of his pasture." He says here that the sheep are to submit to the shepherd. And ladies and gentlemen, everybody in a church is not a sheep. We have a lot of goats. They're people who've never submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. They have taken out fire insurance, come down an aisle, filled out a holy card, and then they don't tithe, they don't serve, they don't participate, and claim they know Jesus. Jesus settled all this in John chapter 10 when he said that those who are saved submit to his lordship. Write this down. For every one time the word Savior is found in scriptures, 11 times you'll find the word Lord. John 10, 26 and 27, Jesus said, "But you do not believe because you're not of my sheep as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, that his sheep may know him, is what he's saying, and that they will follow him. Now, when you get on the highway on an interstate, when you're getting on the interstate, you're going down that lane, that ramp, and I tell you what, when you get over there in Cobb County, during those rush hours, they got little red lights at the end of the ramps. Have you seen those? I thought I was supposed to be getting up speed to get in this mess. No, you get up speed and all of a sudden you stop. And it only stops you for 10 seconds and then you go again. So now I'm going to get run over by the big trucks because I don't have any speed anymore. But I want you to know we've got to yield to the right of way of those with whom we are merging. Let me tell you something. As we're living our lives, God always has the right of way. He has a plan for our life, but we got to merge. We got to blend with what he's already doing. Your actions and plans must yield to his will for your life ahead of your own. And notice the command to show. Now, what does that mean? Look at Psalm 106, and let's look at verse 2 and 3. He says here, who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord? I fully declare his praise. Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. King James Version. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. He says here we're to celebrate Thanksgiving every day by declaring God's mighty acts and proclaiming love and grace to all people. Somebody wrote, we're to show forth righteousness at all times and to show gratitude by obeying the Lord. What if God treated us the way we treat him? What if God met our needs the same way we give him our lives? Think about this. What if we never saw another flower bloom because we got so mad about the rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we fail to love and care for others? What if God took away his message because we didn't listen to his messenger? What if he wouldn't bless us today because we failed to thank him for yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the way we answer the call to service? Somebody wrote, there's some ways to make sure Thanksgiving is in my life daily. They said, keep your focus on God and be positive about everything in your life. Honor God. Acknowledge God's influence in your life. Keep your problems in the proper perspective. And then he says, encourage those around you. You know, I was working with my little boy at school and I said, could we list some people that encourage you? He said, I don't know what that word means. He was serious. So last week, what we did, he'll never want me to come back again. You know, sometimes the kids, they're just all right if you can't make it next week. In fact, if you just come once every 4 weeks, they'd be happy with that. But I sat down with him and I said, tell you what, I brought some envelopes and I brought some paper. And I want you to tell me who helped you. Boy, he started with his daddy. I said, we're going to write him a note. He knew how to print. Now, a letter is two sentences. You got that? And then he's folding it up. He don't sign it. I said, listen, you got a girlfriend over here named Janice. What if she writes you and she just says you're the greatest thing in the whole world, but she don't sign her name? You don't know who it's from. That's not, he actually wrote love with his name. We even wrote letters to his teachers. One sentence, two sentences. He didn't sign those love. He just signed his name. And I said, let me tell you what these are right here that we're going to give to your teachers today. The next time you caught fighting in school, this is going to be your get out of jail free card. That's what that's going to be. And so he was so excited. And I learned how to spell groceries too. He says, Mama buys groceries and cooks food. You spell groceries, G-R-O-S-H-R-E-Y-S, groceries. Y'all with me? That's your tax dollars at work. But we nearly wore out an eraser on a whole pencil doing all that. Let me tell you something. Be an encourager to other people. You don't know what folks are living through. And then create an atmosphere where God can work in your life. God, open opportunities for relationships with other people. Properly honor and acknowledge the sources of blessings in your life. And encourage others by blessing them. A lady named Jessica Schaefer wrote an insightful article, and here's what she called it: Thanks for Nothing. She said, she just highlighted her joy. She said, I'm so thankful this past year my house didn't burn down. She said, I left home and left my iron on for 5 hours. I'm so thankful. She said, I'm so thankful that my family was not involved in a major automobile accident. And then she said, we left our garage door open one night. There's lots of valuables in there. I'm so thankful that nothing got stolen. She said, we had some marital conflicts, and I'm thankful for my husband because he insisted on talking about the issues that I didn't want to discuss. Listen to this. She said, we live on an earthquake fault line. Now, why would you build a house there? She said, but here's what she said. I'm so thankful I don't live near a volcano, a tornado zone. We don't have floods or avalanches where I live. That means you're going to have an earthquake. House going to fall into that hole one day. But she's thankful she don't live near these other things. And then she said, I'm thankful my little daughter who slammed her finger in the bathroom door. She said, I'm so thankful that that finger didn't have to be amputated. And she closed this article by saying this: I'm thankful for every uneventful day. As you're giving your praise for all the blessings that God's given you, don't forget, listen to me carefully, don't forget to thank God for the nothings. What is that? Those are the things that could have happened, and they didn't. Give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Will you stand right where you are, heads are bowed and eyes are closed?